Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Welcome to A Few Things, where we give our greatest discoveries the podcast they deserve. I'm Claire Mazur.
And I'm Erica Cerullo. This show is brought to you by Ovakind. Find out more and sign up for our newsletter at ovakind.com. That's the show.
That's it.
I think we did a nice job.
Yeah.
So I think we can just move on with our day.
Yeah, that's right. I found out something about you recently. I suspected it about you. I thought that it had been happening. I wasn't entirely clear on what it was, going on.
Yeah.
You've been showering at night.
It read a bit like an accusation when you said it, but I'm not going to take it that way. I'm going to try not to.
It just, I can't, tell me more.
Okay. So, first of all, I don't do it every night.
Okay.
It's not my, I wouldn't say it's my primary showering mechanism at this point, but I like showering at night. And Liz, we were talking about this with Liz yesterday. I like it in the summer when it's hot and you've had like a sticky day outside.
But then don't you sweat overnight?
Way less than when I'm like get home from work or like get home from something. And your feet are dirty from wearing sandals. And you just feel kind of disgusting.
Yeah.
And I don't love getting into a bed.
Yeah.
Like with just like feeling like grunge of the city
I get that. Yeah.
So I do like, there's like point one.
Yeah.
Two. Because I go to a lot of morning exercise classes and I have to shower and like wash my hair every day, I hate showering before the exercise class. That feels stupid.
Right.
It also means I have to wake up earlier. Mm-hmm. It also means a lot of time my hair is not fully dry by the time I get to class. Or even if it is, it just like holds like the rubber band kink more if it's just washed.
Yeah.
And so if I don't shower the night before, then I feel like I'm dealing with all of this drama. Yeah. At the end of a yoga class.
That's understandable.
Which is a stress factor. But I only have been showering at night. I basically, if it's like a really gross day and I have a class in the morning.
But if it's a really gross day and you feel really gross and you don't have a class in the morning, would you ever shower at night to get the grime off of you and then shower again in the morning?
No.
Okay.
I don't shower more than once in 24 hours if I can help it.
Sometimes I do.
I mean, I guess like sometimes if I... Yeah, because I am on a very strict hair washing schedule.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes I'll have to shower. I'll shower in the morning because I'll need to wash my hair, and then I'll shower at night after a workout.
Right. Yeah.
But I'll also wash my hair then. That's the thing you don't have to do.
Yeah. The reverse is true though because as an adult person, I kind of need to shower in the morning. Yeah. And the only reason I don't is if I have a really early flight and I'm just like I couldn't possibly. It's four in the morning. Yeah. And when I
never shower before the airplane.
Yeah, that's the other thing. You're just like, I'm just going to feel grimy. I'll do it when I get there.
Yeah.
But the thing for me when I was younger, when you know, like, they make kids wake up so early for school. It's like you have to be in homeroom by like 7 a.m. It's insane. And so I always wished I could shower at night during that phase of my life. But because I have curly hair and I was just like an air dryer, I had to do it in the mornings. And that just felt like such torture.
Yeah.
And now that I'm a cardio person. Yeah, yeah. Morning. And I have to shower after that. So the idea of showering at night is so foreign to me. But I guess, you know, if it works for you,
maybe try it sometime on the weekend. See how you feel.
See, that's on the weekend. I just won't shower. I mean, I'll shower after my workout. And then if I take a day off on the weekend, I just fully won't shower. At which point Chris will like notice around like 5 p.m. And he'll be like, so you're just not going to shower today? And I'm like, yeah, why would I?
I didn't get dirty. Yeah,
and
totally.
Like, why? And I don't know. I kind of feel like there's probably some like, probably the people who like the microbiome would be like, yeah, that's good. Don't shower.
Oh, for
don't
sure.
There's some health.
Oh, my gosh.
There?
Yeah. Oh, the microbiome people think we bathe way too much.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. I feel like that I'm sort of going to tell him next time. I'm just for tending sure. to my microbiome.
Yeah. No, your skin's got good bacteria on it that are protecting you from all kinds of things. And you wash it way too much.
Yeah, I think it's fine. I also think like kids, I don't know, how often do kids bathe?
Not every day, because it's, you know, it's such a pain giving a kid a bath. Yeah. So no one wants to do that every day.
And they don't have BO. It's like,
they smell like kid sweat, though.
Yeah, it's kind of gross. You're right.
And they, like, spill all their food all over themselves. So it's not that they're not dirty.
Yeah.
So much as that nobody wants to deal with it.
That's true. anyway, I just think how interesting that you shower at night sometimes now. I do remember this one time. This was, like, years ago when we got invited to something kind of, like, last minute. And it was after work. And we were, like, deliberating about whether or not we were going to go. And you were like, and you know what? I haven't showered today, so no. And I was just like, how did you come to work? And I think it was because you'd showered the night before.
Yeah, I think.
But
probably.
I was just like, oh, okay.
What, an excuse you hadn't thought of yet. I'm like, just adding to your potential excuses if you want to take advantage.
Yeah. Okay.
Related to showering, we sell shower caps on the site. We have some new colors.
Yeah, we do. And tell I wear that. Them almost every time I shower. Except,
and I
oh,
never
you know
wear
what
them.
Shower I never do in the morning?
Huh.
My hair wash shower. That happens in the afternoons and evenings almost always because I do it on a Sunday.
So you do shower at alt times.
No, but then I wake up on the Monday morning and I shower again.
Oh, good Lord. Okay.
All right. But the shower caps. So it's a shower cap.
It's
is how
three
it's spelled.
H's.
Wow. You knew exactly how many H's. And it's just a really, really good shower cap. And if you are someone who uses shower caps, you know the difference. And they come
it's
in
like fabric and chic.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
And very durable. Yeah. I travel with mine. I like it that much. And it, we have it in cute new colors and patterns now. So it's 10% off with the code a few things.
Well, that's glorious.
It is.
This is an episode. This is a Things You Can't Put in 10 Things episode. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, what's been a real surprise that these episodes have maybe some of our highest listenership.
Yeah. People like when we talk about boring stuff. So the shower thing should be a hit.
I'm going to start with something.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Uh-huh.
Oatly.
Yes.
Okay.
People have a lot of opinions on Oatly.
Yeah. So basically... Yeah. The first question you might be asking is why I can't put Oatly in 10 things. Maybe you don't care. Maybe you're not asking that at all. Yeah. But if you are, the answer is because I put so many
alternative
milks in 10 things that I feel like I can't put another.
Interesting. I didn't realize that was the reason.
What did you think it was?
I just thought it was because everybody knew about it, but I also feel like I
waited too long. I really stalled because I felt like I had put too many alternative milks in 10 things. Well, and now I've missed. And now it's just really peaked.
And I don't necessarily think that it is true that everybody knows about it. I mean, it did have it. What it truly was the like a viral moment where it was like it was around. And then it was like around.
Yeah.
But
then it was on Mandy Moore and Emily Weiss's Instagram within 24 hours of each other. And I was like, wow, okay. So Oatly is something people are talking about on social media.
Well, the thing that that made me be like, oh, everybody knows about it is that I believe there was a shortage in California.
That's what Mandy Moore talked about.
Yeah. And Jerry Hirsch did too. And yeah, like all of the Instagram influencers were complaining about the shortage in California.
Oh my God. Do you think... Not to totally derail this, but to go back to Häagen-Dazs vanilla bean for a moment.
Oh.
Do you think that these shortages are purposeful in order to incite this demand?
You know, I will say that if they weren't, then they would now if there were savvy marketers in this world. Because I do think that we have that we have brought some nice attention to HDVB.
Yeah.
And the Jerry Hirsches and Mandy Moores of the world have brought some very nice attention to Oatly.
Yeah. It's free. All you have to do is not make your product available.
Well, yeah, it's free. I mean, there's a loss involved sure. by not selling your product yeah. intentionally. Yeah, but yeah.
It's a supreme model of milk.
Yeah.
M-Y-L-K.
That's right.
Yeah, supreme.
I have an Oatly story. Chris was going to the grocery store and I asked him for chocolate milk because I was really having a chocolate milk craving. And courtesy of Jeff Berkovici's book, which yeah. we talked about a couple episodes back, turns out chocolate milk is a great recovery drink, better yeah. than Gatorade.
Yeah. Well, yeah, very different than Gatorade, but I think better than like a protein shake because yeah. it has the perfect balance of protein and carbs is like what?
So basically,
good amount of sugar, right amount of sugar.
Basically, I was told by an authority that it's a health food. And yeah. so I immediately added it to our grocery
yeah,
list.
Yeah, so you're treating it as such.
Yeah. And Chris came back and, you know, bless him. It was really sweet. He came back with chocolate Oatly because he knows that I really like oat milk. And whenever it's on a menu at a coffee shop, I'll be like, oh, I'll have like the oat latte or whatever. Yeah. But at that moment, I was like, no, I actually, like, I really wanted the milk. Because, yeah. you know, chocolate milk, it's like.
It's a different, that's a nostalgic experience.
But yeah, and I was like, thanks, I guess. And he was like, I don't know, I'll try it. And he sipped it. And he was like, I was like, what do you think? And he was like, I wouldn't get it again. And then I'll tell you what, 2 days later, the entire giant jug of it was gone. He loved chocolate Oatly, it turns out.
I really like that. Yeah. You know why? You know, I have some thoughts about this. Mm-hmm. So I did some research yeah. into Oatly. So first I should back up.
Yeah.
So the appeal of oat milk mm-hmm. for me is that it's creamier.
Yeah, it's great. It's almost like cereal creamy. Milk.
Yeah. And it doesn't have as much flavor as I feel like yeah. almond milk or soy milk has.
It's well, it doesn't have that like artificial sweet that like every almond milk has that I hate.
I don't think the Califia almond coconut unsweetened one tastes sweetened.
I don't like it. Yeah. I'm like tensing.
I know you don't like it. I think it has a flavor. Yeah. It mm-hmm. tastes like nut milk, but I think yeah. that Oatly kind of just tastes like creaminess.
It doesn't taste like anything in particular. Wonderful.
So I feel like that's part of why it's taking off. The more environmental reason around why it's taking off is that oats use less water and fewer pesticides than soy and almond.
Almonds are kind of a disaster.
Apparently growing yeah. oats takes 6 times less wow. water than almonds, which is super fascinating. So the company that makes this is a 25-year-old Swedish company that mm-hmm. also makes oat girt.
I'd eat oat girt.
It's not available in the U.S. yet.
We're really invoking a lot of Instagram influencers, but I'm pretty sure that Laurel Panton had oat girt on her Instagram. Maybe she had it shipped direct.
I don't think it was by Oatly.
Yeah, no, maybe it wasn't. I think it was some sort of oat yogurt, though.
It was oat?
I thought so.
I thought it was cashew. the brain space that could be saved by not watching this content.
You know, this is going to be a great segue into my next thing.
Great. Okay, so it's a Swedish company, right? Mm-hmm. But in the U.S., their oat milk is produced by oats from the Western United States and Canada, and it's manufactured in an oat milk factory, in a shared factory in Minnesota.
That's good.
I didn't come up with that, Claire. This article on Sprudge.com, which I knew nothing of.
Just, you know Sprudge.
I think I need to cite the source for such a good pun that decided to spell out oat in the word Minnesota to give the state credit.
Shout out to Sprudge. What is Sprudge's beat?
I wouldn't worry about it. I don't think that's not of your concern. Tell me what you can't put in 10 things.
Crossword puzzles.
What a transition.
Here's why it's transition, because I started crossword puzzles as my alt to Instagram / the news, because my default in the morning is just like scrolling through Instagram. It's a problem because it's just so easy and my brain isn't awake enough yet for anything else. So then when I catch myself scrolling through Instagram, that's when I go to the New York Times, and then it's extremely depressing and I want an alt. And then I go to my crossword. So now I like to try to just start with a crossword if I can.
Yeah, you start two really depressing places or like just, yeah, yeah, just troubling not,
they
places.
They don't feel like enriching. Like no. They don't feel like a healthy
place to start your day.
They're
not doing
any
of the things that you should be doing to start your day.
And crosswords are just, A, such a nice way to wake up your brain. B, like there's no, you never like improve in crosswords. It's not like you're like getting better in the way that you are with so many hobbies. And I really like that about it. It just is what it is. I also really like that you can, work on the same crossword for a whole week, or longer, depending on how challenging it is. And I really like how you can be stuck on something and then put it away and you come back a day later and the answer is really obvious.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that is a very satisfying thing for me. Yeah. Just like as a mental exercise to be like, sometimes you just have to put something away, and when your brain is in a different space, it becomes real, like the answer is there. And it feels like this great life metaphor for
me. Wow, that's way more than I thought we were going to get out of this.
It's nice, right? Like, I feel like, I don't know, there's something just very, there's like wholesome and satisfying to me about crossword puzzles that I really enjoy. So I just feel like it's a really good brainless morning activity.
It requires brain.
No, that's right. Sorry. It requires brain, but it doesn't require, there's no like moral judgments.
No, yeah, yeah,
there's
yeah.
no like.
Analyzation. Yeah.
It's very unlikely to provoke anxiety.
Yeah, like, these are all things we look for.
Yeah.
You were saying that you don't get better at it. Are there, I've done very few crossword puzzles in my life or committed much time to this. Are there crossword puzzle words, like, or Scrabble words?
I do think there are. Yeah. And there are, like, certain kinds of clues. And I don't do them from enough different sources to know if it's specific to sources. I suspect that it is. I mean, listen, People Magazine is a really fun time if you want to do their crossword. And that one, obviously, like, there are certain people that come up all the time.
And that also takes advantage of your e-news, Instagram story watching, I feel like.
And whatever free subscription I had to People Magazine ran out, so I haven't done that one in a while. The New York Magazine one is also fun, but I do the New York Times one just because it's a very handy little app. I started paying for it shortly. I think I've told this story here, but it was like a weird mental thing where, like, shortly after the election and all these things were coming to light about the role that journalism was or was not
playing. How we need to pay for the news we want. Yeah.
And I was like, I'll happily start paying for the crossword puzzle as a way to support the news.
Totally.
So I pay for the subscription to it, and so that I pretty much rely exclusively on the New York Times one. My dad is also really into the New York Times crossword puzzle. It's a big retirement hobby for him. He refuses to let me even, like, gift him the app. He doesn't want it. He has a New York Times subscription, and he prints it out every day from the computer and then fills it out that way. So that's something
to
we
each
share.
His own.
Yeah, that's right.
Something that it is another one of my things I can't put in 10 things that I feel like I've also, like, done a real close reading of my interaction with it is the Being Serena HBO documentary. And the reason that can't be put in 10 things is simply because I feel like 10 things could just be like straight Serena content for me every week.
This is interesting insight into the editorial criteria for 10 things.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So Being Serena I just feel like more people should have been watching this. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I would be, but after the first episode, you gave it a little bit of a lukewarm review.
That's not true.
Wow.
Okay, here's how I feel. Okay.
Well, in the way that, listen, I've watched the Beyonce documentary like maybe 3 times, but I wouldn't say it's like a good documentary.
Well, I wouldn't say this is a good documentary, but you watched the Beyonce one 3 times, so you couldn't watch this once?
I'll watch it.
Yeah.
But I will watch it at some point.
You will, because you'll run out of things to watch.
Yeah. But it was more that I didn't feel like I had to like run out and watch it immediately because you were like, it's not like the best thing ever. You, Liz, you can edit that out in case Serena ever listens to this.
It's not that I don't think that the documentarians did the best job ever. I think Serena is the best thing ever.
100%.
And so we should be grateful for what we're given.
Yes. No argument there.
And we should not frown upon that, and we should consume it as quickly as we can.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, you were going to host a viewing party.
Problem is I have a computer that I watch on. And I don't know if you've ever watched a television show on a computer with more than 2 people.
Yeah.
But it's not great.
Well, it could have been a 2-person viewing party.
Well, I'm watching it with I watched it with my husband, Thomas. You think Thomas didn't want
to? Oh, so there was no room for me.
No.
Okay, fine.
Yeah. You think Thomas didn't want to watch his favorite athlete, too? So this is a 5-part HBO documentary. Mm-hmm. And it's part of HBO Sports, which made me really happy because I can tell you what, most of the stuff that was talked about in this documentary has never showed up on HBO Sports before. So that was great. And it basically takes you from the end of her pregnancy, like the very last moments of it right before she gives birth, up to competing in the French Open this year. And there were a couple of just really, I feel like, iconic scenes. And I'm really upset that they're not available on YouTube because HBO is very finicky about this sort of thing. Yeah. But I just feel like they shouldn't, these like little moments we should be given access to.
Yeah.
So one of them in the first episode that I talked to you about a lot is there's a scene of her, of Serena working out like 40 weeks pregnant, 41 weeks pregnant, like really very pregnant.
Yeah.
And like deadlifting and like doing like serious stuff at the gym in a way that is very, very, very inspiring. And she looks miserable and she looks tough.
That is great.
Yeah.
Tough bitch.
Tough bitch. So that's in the first episode. And then in the third episode, she's going to play her first big turn. So it also talks about the trials of her delivery, which I think has made a lot of news. And there's a really good Vogue cover story about just the like sort of life-threatening conditions and the way that Black women and pregnancy and delivery is handled and mishandled.
Mm-hmm.
So that all happens on the course of the show as well. And then you get a lot of the sort of like postpartum moments. And during the third episode, she goes to play her first match. And it's like an exhibition match. And there's a scene of her in a locker room, like getting ready and like getting all her shit together, about to be called onto the court, like with breast pump, like amazing, attached to her. And like these are things that she too has to deal with. There's a ton of conversation around breastfeeding
because she has to stop eventually.
Yeah,
before
so
she wants
that's
to.
That's the fifth episode, basically.
I like also how you remember. Each
no,
of
I wrote
the
them down because I feel like I don't know. I just feel like there was so much like takeaway. So her coach basically, she had a hard time balancing being a mom and playing tennis at her level. And her coach at a certain point was like, look, like you can't be breastfeeding and get your body to the place that needs to be. Like it's a very like you're in a very specific place in a very specific world. Like you are the best tennis player in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You were before you had a baby. You're going to be again. But to get to that place, you're going to have to like commit to doing these things that I know you don't necessarily want to do.
Was it because of the time commitment of breastfeeding or was it because of like the physical impact?
The physical impact.
Okay.
I mean, I think it's probably a little bit of both, but the physical impact of like the way that her body needed to be in order to breastfeed was affecting her play.
But she really liked breastfeeding.
She loved breastfeeding. Yeah. She felt like it was like a super important and intimate connection that she had with the baby. She was like pretty obsessed with it. And really didn't want to give it up, but eventually did. And that's an interesting thing to talk about. And I don't know, there are just a lot of things around her being a mother that have come out and that I think have forced certain different news outlets to cover breastfeeding, motherhood, maternity, like all of those things.
No, all of the discussion around her has been really interesting and inspiring in general, or all of the discussion around her pregnancy and her birth and her being a mother. And her winning the Australian Open and like all of the while she was pregnant.
And then
the ranking.
Yeah.
So
So when she came back to the French Open, she was ranked 453, which is
wild.
Crazy because your ranking's not protected because because the U.S. Is it the USTA? I can't remember if it's the USTA or the women, the Women's Tennis Association doesn't protect your ranking because they treat pregnancy like a disability. And like an injury. And so you have to like work your way.
Which is what
up.
My mom always says when she talks about when she got pregnant, when she was having my brother and she had just gotten a new job and that she asked them what their policy was. And they were like, oh, we treat it like any other illness or disability. She was like, anyway.
But all of that stuff was super interesting to follow. And like ESPN talked about it, like, you know, a lot of sites and sources that don't necessarily have to grapple with motherhood or maternity or family leave or any of those things had to talk about it. And there's a really good article by Maddie Kahn on Glamour.com that gets into it.
Love that, Maddie Kahn.
Yeah, she's
the best. I am going to watch this. I'm very interested in it. I was realizing as you were talking that I think part of the reason I didn't go out and watch it immediately was because I have like a slow and steady drip of Serena via Instagram.
Yeah.
And so
I
felt like I was like, I didn't feel like I was missing out. Like I felt like I was getting the story, even though I knew I wasn't getting as much.
You weren't getting as much.
While you were watching it, I was watching her get ready for Megan's wedding. And,
I was
just still feeling like I had her
connection.
In my life.
No, totally. Exactly. And it's not all like this, you know, sort of like serious stuff that you can like really ponder and consider and just think of the implications about it. There's like a whole thing about her planning her wedding, and the choreographed dance number that
I'm
she
very
and Alexis Ohanian like do.
Yeah.
Like that part is like just pure Serena being Serena, in a way that is very charming.
Where do you stand on her marriage?
Tough question. I wasn't excited about it before. Yeah. I think that he genuinely seems as in awe of her as everyone should be. Mm-hmm. So that's something.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Gosh, I don't even know what to offer up next. All of these things are so mundane. Chocolate covered gummy bears.
That could have come out right after chocolate milk.
That's true. But I wanted to spread out the sugar and the food.
Yeah, totally.
You know, I thought in this moment, I was like, am I going to talk about chocolate covered gummy bears? I don't have that much to say. But actually, I have like 6 bullet points under the topic. So it turns out I do. I first discovered them when I was 16, the summer I was 16. Mm-hmm, I was interning at DKNY on Madison Avenue. It's still there. And FAO Schwartz, which is not still there, was across the street. And they had a great candy bar. Dylan's Candy Bar existed at the time, but Dylan's Candy Bar was basically like the rip of the candy bar at FAO Schwartz. And they had chocolate covered gummy bears. So on my lunch breaks from DKNY, I would go and get chocolate covered gummy bears for lunch. And I had never.
Did you eat other lunch or is that it?
I was trying to remember as far, probably because just knowing myself, like I always need a salty sweet every, you know, I need it all. But it also seems entirely possible that I do remember feeling guilty about it, not because it was candy, because at that point in my life, I wasn't like thinking about that stuff, but because it was really surprisingly expensive, as bulk candy tends to be. You can really get carried away at a bulk candy store.
Yeah, yeah.
Which brings me to my next point about what makes chocolate covered gummy bears so special is that I've never seen them prepackaged. They are only ever available at a bulk candy store.
Why do you think that is?
I have absolutely no idea, but I think it makes them a little bit more special because it means, like, how often are you encountering a bulk candy store?
No, not so often.
And so
it
becomes a rare treat.
Yeah, totally.
I don't, you know, it's an interesting question because the only reason I could think of that they would only be at a bulk candy store and not prepackaged might have something to do with, like, freshness or consistency or temperature control. But in fact, I would think that things go stale more quickly at
a bulk
candy store. Yeah. And I will tell you,
I've never heard the words bulk candy store more than I just have.
I have had stale chocolate covered gummy bears and they are not good. They're always a disappointment.
From a bulk candy store.
I've only ever had them from a bulk candy store. But which brings me to my next point about chocolate covered gummy bears, which is that there are many things that are good about them. The first being that it's a fruit chocolate combo, which is my favorite.
No.
I know you don't like it, but it's
absolutely not.
So good. But the second being that the consistency is fantastic.
I agree with you about the consistency. I think the consistency is wonderful. And whenever I eat them, I just wish it was a caramel.
Okay.
Because it's.
But do you wish it were a gummy caramel?
No, it's like a caramely consistency.
No, caramels get stuck in your teeth.
It depends on the caramel.
There's like chewy.
It truly depends on the caramel.
This is like a clean eating experience.
I think you're judging all caramels pretty harshly.
Well, I'm not the caramel person that you are. I like it with chocolate.
Yeah.
But I don't like it as much as a chocolate covered gummy bear, which I think is just a phenomenal candy. And I think, you know, you find a lot of people haven't had them.
That's true. You do find that.
I had a bag myself at the office the other day and I passed it around and it seemed to be unanimously enjoyed. I think.
And yeah, the one or two that everybody had, they like it's. I just think also I enjoy one or two, but after that, I'm like, that's good for me.
Oh, really? I can eat so many. I had a really bad day the other day and I still had that bag in my kitchen and I said, you know what I deserve for dinner? I didn't feel good after that. It wasn't a good
decision.
Can't
imagine you would.
I don't endorse it, but yeah. Anyway, that's my pitch.
Yeah, no, I think people are going to try this.
They should. It's so good.
Yeah.
What else you got?
Georgia the font.
Not Georgia the person, not Georgia the state or the country.
Yeah, Georgia the font.
Yeah.
I was thinking about it. I don't know if Georgia's my favorite font.
Oh.
Well, I just think Georgia is a good, reliable, simple, straightforward font.
Well, what I find so interesting about that is that the like default font is Times New Roman.
I don't like that one.
And Georgia is just slightly to the left of Times New Roman.
And that's what I like about it.
And what? So tell me more.
So, okay. So I basically can only write in Georgia.
Yeah.
My like email, my Gmail set up for Georgia to be the default font. Yeah. When I make like documents for Of a Kind, they're always in Georgia. Claire knows well enough at this point to change anything over to Georgia before it gets shared with me.
Yeah.
If I open a document that's not in Georgia, that's the first thing I do is I convert it to Georgia. I think my brain just doesn't see it. It doesn't like experience the font.
Yeah.
And I think other fonts to me like all kind of feel like Comic Sans or something where I like.
Even Times New Roman though?
Yes.
But then you have to read like what is the internet like for you?
Well, a lot of things on the internet are Georgia, I've learned.
Interesting.
Yeah, in doing a little bit more digging.
Okay.
Georgia's one of the New York Times' default fonts.
Interesting.
Of, like, three fonts. Not, like, it's not, it's one of three.
Okay.
But, yeah, so I think that my like, brain is trained for Georgia. It can see the content and not the...
Framing it as everything else is Comic Sans is maybe the first time I've really understood this for you, that your brain doesn't see Georgia and so it sees everything else really. Okay, interesting.
And I think one of the women on our team, Jessie, who is one of our like newer Of a Kind employees, she now sends everything in Georgia and we didn't have to have a conversation about it. And that feels like a real true victory in some ways. Like,
huge.
Wow, like this, I've managed to like make this impression.
Yeah.
But I did a little digging about Georgia. Mm-hmm. I didn't learn a ton that I didn't know, to be honest. But
is that because there's not that much to know or because you've already spent so much time thinking about this?
It's because like there actually is not that much to know about fonts in most cases. Yeah. So Georgia was...
Except for Helvetica, and there's an entire documentary
on that. Oh my gosh, well,
Helvetica's,
that's its own thing.
Yeah.
I don't love Helvetica.
Yeah, no, I'm not crazy about it either. Better than Arial.
Well, yeah.
Which that is the default font in Google Drive.
No, I know. I know. Believe me, I know. So Georgia was designed in 1999 and released in 1996.
No, it was, well, per this 19, yeah, which.
Or 1993, sorry. Georgia was designed in 1993 and released in 1996.
Yeah.
Which I also tried to do a little.
So recent.
Yeah, I was surprised.
Yeah.
But I also was like, oh, that's like when I was 96, I would have been in like eighth grade. So was it just that, like, that's when I was...
Starting to use computers a lot.
Yeah, would I have been in a font discovery period of my life at that time? Would I, like, have been, like, writing a lot of high school papers? And would I be? Yeah. Would I have gotten a new version of Microsoft Word? Because that's what it was released on.
Interesting.
Is that how I would have, become
I wish
accustomed?
It had been, like, Dingbats or something.
Totally.
Something other ridiculous font.
And this also feels very core to me. It was designed for clarity to be read on a computer monitor, even in small sizes. Mm. And I, like...
You love... It's that is really weird to me. We'll explore it on a different thing.
But I love a small font. I love small text.
I maintain, or I've always just assumed that it has something to do with whatever eyesight you have. Like some people can't see things that are really close. Some people can't see things that are really far away. I think whatever it is, it's like an
whatever
eyesight
it is,
thing.
It's wrong with me.
Yeah, I don't want to say it's wrong with you because you do have great eyesight.
Yeah,
but there's something.
I don't need glasses.
Yeah, there's something.
I just like little things.
It's really hard to read the way you keep your screen.
I just like it. I put it all to like 75%.
No,
I really like it.
Yeah.
But because you like to throw George under the bus and I think you don't respect it.
Yeah. I've said nothing mean about Georgia during this. I just said it was to the left. It was just a little to the left of Times New Roman.
Yeah, totally. Matthew Carter, the creator, received a Lifetime Achievement Award from the Smithsonian's Cooper Hewitt National Design Museum I love, in part for design of the Georgia font.
What else was it for?
Other fonts.
Oh, all just font related.
I think Verdana was released like at the same, they're like sister fonts.
Interesting.
So I think probably like joint credit for both of those. I don't know what else.
Good for him.
Yeah.
I'm going to give a shout out to charcoal colored towels.
Yeah.
Specifically non-white towels, but also I have explored other non-white
what
towels.
What other colors would you think
I had
about?
Like navy at one point, and it's just like, I wasn't that into it.
Dark gray.
Yeah. Dark gray feels, you look at it and you're like, oh, you're a color a towel should be. I use that green tea cleansing powder. It's so messy that we sell
that
on the site.
I love that green tea cleansing powder. I think that Odacite.
Odacite. It's so good. Impossible not to get it on your towel.
Keep talking. Yeah.
I use Sunless Tanner.
Yeah.
I use, charcoal face masks.
Yeah.
All this stuff that if I was using white towels, it would be a disaster. And my charcoal towels deal with the problem of my skin routine so gracefully.
Yeah, that's very nice of them. Generous.
And I just think they look great. And I'm never going to look back. For a while, I was doing like cream towels because it was like, well, I'll like absorb the dirt a little bit and like won't be so, or do they just won't like yellow?
Yeah.
That didn't do it for me either. I feel great about charcoal towels. I have two different kinds that play very nicely together.
Okay.
I have the like really thick, luxurious ones, which are the Wamsutta Collection Turkish towel in gray. And those are for like when it's cold out and you want like a big
wrap yourself in something.
And then I have the Parachute Home waffle towels in charcoal gray. And they are like the lighter, like chic, fun, like pretty.
Japanesey.
Yeah. And they also, it turns out the grays look perfectly nice together. So sometimes
they can both they can live together.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. And I feel great about this decision because I really, who is rich or clean enough to own white towels?
Totally.
You know, are you washing them? Are somebody washing them for you like every day?
No, you just have a real bleach habit. There are like, a lot God forbid,
do you get your period?
Yeah.
You know, it's.
Yeah, totally.
It's hard to maintain.
You had one other thing you wanted to talk about briefly.
Are you all out of things?
I am.
Okay. I just wanted to suggest.
Just endorse.
Endorse following Ellen DeGeneres like on YouTube or Facebook. She is wonderful at a video clip. It's always the right amount of time.
How long?
Like never more than 2 minutes.
Yeah. That's what I like to hear.
It is just as moving and emotionally gratifying.
Uplifting
without the sound. And they've always got the closed captions on.
Oh,
and so you will watch the one I watched. And it is the perfect little break in your day. She's really the only friend you need on Facebook. Any other Facebook. Whenever I go to Facebook, I'm like, not interested. Why am I still here? And then an Ellen clip pops up. She actually is not. It's called Ellen Tube. And it's a lot of the one I watched yesterday, God, it was so great. A woman in the audience whose husband had been stationed overseas for years. Uh-huh. She was like the biggest Ellen fan in the world.
Sure.
He wrote in. It was a classic talk show setup. He wrote in about a thing. Will you wish my wife a happy birthday? Lo and behold, he shows up on the stage. She thinks he's still like stationed overseas.
Of course. I knew he was going to be there.
Erica, it was exactly what everybody needs in their day.
Yeah, totally.
It was wonderful. Oh, and then Ellen finds out that they had had a trip planned to Puerto Rico. And then when the hurricane hit, they gave all the money that they had saved up for the vacation to Puerto Rico. So Ellen sent them to Hawaii.
Yeah, that all feels great.
I was so in and I was just like.
Everybody did a great job.
Yeah. And I was like, I should watch this every day right after doing crosswords.
What a great way to start your day. That would be so nice.
Yeah. So I've maybe watched one or two whole episodes of Ellen's talk show in my entire life.
Watched a lot of 2 minute clips
that were like deemed not good enough for the actual show. Like they were like, let's just put this B-roll on YouTube. But
it's working for you.
Yeah, it's really working for me.
Well, hey, that's the show. You can listen to us wherever podcasts are found, like Stitcher, iTunes, Spotify. Follow us at Of A Kind on Instagram and Twitter and like our Facebook page even. You're yawning. Good Lord.
It's the same every time.
Of course. That's how the outro works.
It's not a criticism, but it's a defense.
Jeez.
Well, you know what? People just are enjoying this outro a lot more than they've ever enjoyed it before. Maybe I should start contributing more often.
No. Now the outro is going to be so long. If you have ideas or requests for the show, email them to afewthings@ofakind.com. If you want to advertise, it's advertising@ofakind.com. I'm so tired now. Our intro music, I've really lost my steam, is Butterfield Ease. It's written by and performed by the Soulful Saints. Our audio editing is done by Liz Smith, and we record at Showbiz Studios in the East Village, aka Alex's house.
So many of you guys write in and ask about our theme song. It is called Butterfield East, and it is composed and performed by the Soulful Saints.
You can check them out over at dallarecords.com.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.